Okay, Alexander, let's talk about Adam Schiff, Shifty Schiff, and those 53 interviews that he was doing in the basement during the entire Russiagate fiasco, hoax, the complete hoax and lie that he was squarely behind. Alexander, we have a memo written by Byron York of the Washington Examiner. The title reads, "Exclusive DNI to Schiff. The transcripts are ready to release." Let me read you the first two paragraphs of that memo via Byron York. And it reads as such: "A big development in the fight over 53 secret interviews the House Intelligence Committee conducted during its Trump-Russia investigation. Acting Director of National Intelligence Richard Grenell has sent a letter to Chairman Adam Schiff notifying him that transcripts of all 53 interviews, over 6,000 pages in all, have been cleared for public release. Quote, all of the transcripts with our required redactions can be released to the public without any concerns of disclosing classified material. End quote. Grenell wrote to Schiff in a letter dated May 4. The Intel Committee did the first probe into Russia's 2016 campaign interference and allegations of Trump-Russia collusion. Even today, its findings make up most of what we know about the affair. As part of that investigation, it was run by then majority Republicans. The committee interviewed some key witnesses in the Trump-Russia matter: Donald Trump Jr., Steve Bannon, Andrew McCabe, Sally Yates, Michael Cohen, Hope Hicks, and many more. Alexander, I know you're going to give us some more insight as to the many more that were interviewed, but it sounds to me that Grinnell is sending a very clear message to Shifty Schiff. Stop delaying, release those interviews now, or we're going to do it.
Indeed. Can I just add a few names to the ones you mentioned? John Podesta, he's also there. James Clapper, he's also there. James Comey, he's also there. All of these people are there. All their names are there. So we have a very, very interesting, collection of people. I mean, and other people who were there, for example, was the person who interpreted for Veselnitskaya and Donald Trump Jr. at the Trump Tower meeting. All sorts of very, very interesting things, and I'd love to see them all. Now, Byron York is one of the best connected and best informed journalists in Washington. I mean, he's very, very close to the Republican Party. He talks to people in the Senate, in the House. I'm talking about senators and, representatives. He's extremely well informed about this. If he says that Grenell has sent a letter like this to Schiff, I have absolutely no doubt that is true. That must definitely be true. So, Grenell, who is acting as Director of National Intelligence and who was brought in by Donald Trump basically to clear up the intelligence community and to sort out these things before the person who is supposed to take over as the permanent DNI, Radcliffe, takes over. Grenell is telling Schiff there are no grounds for concealing these documents, these transcripts. If you don't publish them, we are going to publish them. That's basically what he's saying. Now, why is Schiff dragging his heels? Why is he not publishing them? There's no issue about these transcripts being classified because the intelligence community went through them and has determined that, decided what redactions to make, and that issue doesn't exist anymore. All of them apparently have had been through that process of redaction. It doesn't exist anymore. So why is Schiff holding them back? Well, I'm going to make a guess, but I think it's an informed guess, which is that he's protecting some of the people who have provided the evidence which is set out in those transcripts. Why is he protecting them? Why do I think he is protecting them? Because saying things to Congress which are untrue and which you know to be untrue is a criminal offense. And I suspect that there are some people within the Democratic Party or within the world of the Democratic Party, some of the Russiagaters who are worried, firstly, that the obvious and flimsy nature of Russiagate will be further exposed if we see some of these transcripts, but also they're also worried that some of the very obvious contradictions and untruths which have been told, if exposed to the light of day, could result in demands for action to be taken. So that is my guess. I accept it is only a guess, but what other explanation is there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Loretta Lynch is on that list, Alexander. I would love to hear what she has to say about all of this.
Indeed, about very interesting conversations.
Susan Rice. Samantha Power.
Samantha Power. They're all there. So, for example, I mean, we know that Susan Rice...
He's protecting the Obama White House. Go ahead. Exactly. He's protecting the Obama White House.
Well, that's exactly what he's doing. I mean, we know that Susan Rice and Samantha Power were involved in unmasking people. For example, we know all about that. We now have reports from Christopher Steele that Susan Rice knew all about his dossier. So, you know, these people were clearly involved in some way, and they've clearly told stories to Congress. Were those stories true? Were they not? Very interesting question.
Mark Elias, remember that name?
Absolutely.
Sussman, the lawyers that were dealing with Steele.
Exactly. Absolutely. Of course. And of course, there's others. I mean, you know, Loretta Lynch. I mean, she had some very interesting conversations with Bill Clinton, as we remember.
Very interesting.
On the tarmac. So, you know, what was she asked about those? What did she say about those? Possibly. Well, perhaps she also had interesting conversations with other people, with Director Comey, for example. What did she say about those? What information was she getting? What information were all of these people getting? I mean, we don't know. We don't know how much information there is in these transcripts. We don't know what kind of questions were asked. But bear in mind that most of these transcripts relate to investigations carried out by the House Intelligence Committee when it was headed by Devlin Nunes. When Gowdy was also, Trey Gowdy was also sitting in it. So, I mean, and Gowdy was a person who, as we remember, was very good at asking questions, as was Nunes, in fairness. So, possibly there are some very ugly things there that some people don't want us to see the light of day.
Oh, we got to see this. We're going to see this. There's a couple names here that I'd like your comments on as well, Alexander, that I'm seeing. Michael Cohen.
Well, Michael Cohen, indeed.
And the first name number one, November 13, 2017, Akhmetshin Rinat.
Well, that's right. Yeah, he's the interpreter. He's the interpreter guy that I was talking about. So all kinds of very interesting people there. Lots of very, very interesting people. He, by the way, Akhmetshin, was the person who was alleged to be have some kind of connection with Russian intelligence also, which turned out to be complete nonsense. So we've got all of these little jigsaws and pieces and things. And of course, the other thing that's going to be very interesting is that it's also a useful way to have a time machine to go back into the history of Russiagate. Sorry, my dog is barking. He's also very, very excited about all of this. It's a useful way to take a time machine back and find out what people were saying about things before all the latest revelations, the revelations we got from Horowitz, the revelations we got in a kind of hole in the corner way, even from Mueller, the revelations we're getting now in the Flynn affair, other things. It'll be very interesting to see, to read these comments now in the context of the things we actually know, what we know now, and to look back and see what those people were saying, you know, 3 years ago or 2 or 3 years ago. So it'd be very interesting to see what was going on. I mean, anybody who wants to get to the truth of this should now press for this information to be disclosed. It so reminds me, by the way, of Schiff, that if you remember when there was that story of the Nunes memo, do you remember the Nunes memo? Mm-hmm. Yeah. About the Pfizer abuse? Nunes and Gowdy went off to a basement. They were only allowed a short time by the FBI to go through all the Pfizer papers, and Gowdy prepared this memo, Schiff complained about the fact that they were disclosing things, and Schiff did his own memo, and he insisted that all that information should not be disclosed. And now we know, because Horowitz has looked at all of this and has gone through all the details, that everything that Nunes and Gowdy said in that memo was true. But, of course, Schiff was trying to conceal things. And he's trying to conceal things now. It's the Republicans who are pushing for disclosure. And it's Schiff and the Democrats who are pushing back and are trying to keep things secret. At the time of the Nunes memo, Schiff had the help, the support of Christopher Wray, who is the director of the FBI. The difference this time is that Grenell, who is the acting director of National Intelligence, is supporting those in the Republican Party and elsewhere who want to see the full light of day on these transcripts. So no, that's the difference in the dynamic.
Yeah, no, these transcripts may save people's lives. I mean, I see here number 47 of the 53 is Roger Stone, September 26, 2017.
Of course.
I mean, there may be information there that, you know, may save Roger Stone from going to prison for what would essentially be life for him. So well, let's see what the hell he said.
Absolutely. Let's see exactly what all of these people said. And let's see what Brennan and Comey and
Clapper,
Loretta Lynch and Clapper and all of these people were saying. And not just them, of course, but, you know, the Podestas. I think Tony Podesta is also there. John and I think both.
I see John twice.
John is definitely there. So let's see what all of these people were saying. Let's find out what Loretta Lynch was saying. Let's find out what Susan Rice and Samantha Power were saying. Let's find out everything so that we know the truth.
Yeah, let's
we
get
know
to the
truth.
Yeah. Let's get to the truth. And it reinforces what we said in our live stream the other day, Alexander. To me, get this stuff out. Get this into the mainstream media. Get Trump tweeting about this stuff and let's reshift the narrative. I'm not saying we have to forget about the CV and what's going on there. Obviously, that is the story and that's what, you know, all news agencies and media sites and channels and newspapers should cover. Fine. I get that. But I think it's important now that we're getting all these revelations coming out about Russiagate and what a hoax it was for Trump to go on the offensive and to start bringing some daylight to the news that we're getting about Russiagate, because I still feel a lot of this is being ignored and being swept under the rug with the excuse that we're just going to focus exclusively on CV. It's wrong. Narrative favors Trump as well, favors him greatly.
Absolutely. I mean, what they're trying to do is they're trying to use CV to bury Russiagate. I mean, that's what they're trying to do. They tried to use Russiagate to bury Trump. Well, that didn't work. They're trying to use CV to bury Russiagate now that it's turned on them and it's backfired on them. But we should not let them get away with it, because huge as the story of CV is, and we are not denying on this program that it is huge, Russiagate is also huge. It held the United States in paralysis for 3 years. It resulted in people going to prison. It resulted in people being surveyed. It resulted in reputations being destroyed. It resulted in a systematic attempt to remove the president of the United States from office. So let's not say that because CV is a big story, Russiagate isn't. Russiagate is a huge story because it's now turned on its creators. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't find out the truth about it. And if Donald Trump wants to use it politically to help his re-election, then he should, because he was the victim of it. That would only be, it seems to me, justice.
Poetic
justice, yeah.
Yeah, let's get to the truth. Every day we're getting closer and closer. Every day we're getting closer to connecting more dots and finding out what the hell happened.
Exactly, sir. Exactly.
All right. All right. Alexander McCurse, editor-in-chief of The Durant. Thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, smash that like. Share the video. Please hit that like. It really helps us out a lot. Also, your comments help us out a lot. It helps push the video out to more people because YouTube does not like to promote our videos very much. But your help with a simple like is very, very much appreciated. Also, donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and we are now on Subscribestar. Your donation also helps this channel keep up and running. And of course, go to thedurantshop.com and pick up some magic mugs, some merchandise. We have all kinds of good things. I just want to say it was those magic mugs that got us through the 3 years of dealing with Russiagate, which was a very complicated story when it didn't need to be. And at many times was a very frustrating story because the whole thing was so stupid and so dumb on its face, but people were running with it.
People were running with it, indeed they were. And as I said, it was an exhausting thing to go through all those, you know, acres and forests of documents and trying to sort of get a sense of what people were saying. Whenever you do that, I mean, it is exhausting. And I wouldn't have done it, and you know, we wouldn't have managed to get through it without our trusty magic mugs. They sustained us and supported us through all our horror. And that's why all our guesses, all our analysis on Russiagate has proved to be completely true. So if you want to emulate that quality, if you want to achieve the kind of powers of analysis that you come to this program to see, well, the way you do that is buying yourself a magic mug and drinking coffee from it. Coffee or tea or beer or champagne or hot chocolate, as we've also done. They are the best. They are the best mugs in the world. They are beautifully made. They are capacious. They are strong. They are light. They are a joy to feel and handle. They are the best mugs in the world. I say that without any qualification whatsoever as the world expert on the subject. And you can see that this particular mug, which is one of my favorites and my wife's favorites, has the double-headed eagle of the Russian Federation on it. And it's got there in the middle, St. George, the heroic knight, slaying the dragon of fake news and untruth, which is what, with the help of our trusty magic mugs, we at the Durant set out so successfully with Russiagate and with so many other stories to do. But we don't just have magic mugs, we have amazing shirts, we have the best polo shirts in the world, beautifully made, 100% cotton, stylish wherever you wear them. You can wear them, as I said, riding or in the most elegant salons or an après ski or on the beach. You look fantastic and great with them wherever you are with them. The best polo shirts anywhere. We've also got lots of other shirts. We've got long sleeve T-shirts, short sleeve T-shirts, V-neck shirts, all 100% cotton, all equally well made, all incredibly long lasting, all incredibly stylish and comfortable to wear. This, all our shirts, by the way, have the double-headed eagle of the Durant, which is different from the Russian one. And you will also find in our shop other great things like hats, hoodies and stickers and our amazing ebooks. And we have a great one out there, by the way, on Russiagate, which with all the new information that's tumbling out, we're going to have to update. So you can find ebooks on Russiagate, on Ukrainegate, on Epstein, on Brexit, on oil, the oil crisis, another baffling and bizarre subject. You will find them all there. And as Alex said, you will support the Durant by coming to our shop and buying these great things. And you will be the proud owner of them when you have them. So support the Durant, own these great things, come to our shop. Alex will tell you how.
Just go to thedurantshop.com. You'll find a link in the description box down below. And Alexander, a real quick message to all our viewers. We had the Patriotic Legacy Contest that we ran here for the month of April, and they have selected a winner.
Yes, let me remind you, there's one little torch.
That's right. The Patriot Beacon Red. The contest was for a Patriot Beacon Red. The winner is Joseph from Kenosha, Wisconsin, USA. Patriotic Legacy will get in touch with you, Joseph, so they can get the prize to you. Congratulations.
Yeah. Congratulations indeed. And you're the proud owner of the best torch, or was it flashlight? I can't remember what flashlight, the American torch, yeah. in the world. I say that without any hesitation or qualification whatsoever.
All right. And Joseph, once again, Patriotic Legacy, we'll get in touch with you. Alexander McCurse, editor-in-chief of The Durant, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.